We'll finish up our study that we've been embarking on what to wear to the war. The Lord does not leave us defenseless. He leaves us well covered. He leaves us equipped for the battle. Brother David made a statement last Wednesday night as he preached on the very first Wednesday night of our, matter of fact, January the 1st here. He said, if you've been saved very long, you know this, that you're going to enter into a battle. And we all have the battles that we face in life. And there'll be things come our way, but I'm glad that I'm on the winning side. I'm on the one side. We've already won this thing. One day the dust will clear, and there will stand in glory. And all of God's enemies, all those people that gave you a fit down here, they're going to be over to the other side. Ah, glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Everything that gave you a fit down here is going to be in the past forever. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter number 6 tonight. Ephesians chapter number 6. I want to begin again with our text and read down to this last piece of armor. But once we get to that piece of armor, I want to emphasize that piece of armor. But then I want to read on for a few verses of Scripture because the context, the structure of the sentence of the Word of God demands that we read on once we've read this piece of armor. In verse number 10, the Word of God says this, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, since we've got all these things against us, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and, here it is, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." We've looked at all the other pieces of armor that God has fitted us with, and now we come to this final piece of armor, and it's called the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And we're going to look at this sword for a little bit tonight and say some things about it and look at some things about this sword that is so important in our battles. I want to pick up from there now and read on because, as I say, the grammatical structure of this thought that Paul is building upon demands that we carry forth this thought about the Word of God. Notice he says, "and the sword of the Spirit." It's not just called a sword. It is called the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now that tells me something tonight. That tells me that this is a spiritual book. This book is like no other book on planet Earth. This is not a magazine. This is not a paperback. This is a spiritual book that we hold in our hands. Now notice what he says included in with this sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Verse number 18. "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit," the sword of the Spirit. Now we're to pray in the Spirit. and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known. Has anybody ever felt like you should have said something, but you didn't? You ever had that moment in your life where you know you should have said something to them? You should have witnessed. But for some reason, we cower down to it. He says, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, and therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, period. Now, when Paul got to this last piece of armor, he said, this piece, I want to emphasize this, that this is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Then he tells us, he goes on with that thought, that with along with this spiritual book, we must pray. We must be people of prayer if we're ever effectively going to be able to utilize this book in our battles, in our warfares. We're going to have to couple this book with prayer to be able to win the battles that are going to come against every one of us. Can I get a witness right there? This book is like no other book, as I've said. I want to draw on this. God showed me this yesterday as I was preparing for this. He told one of the pieces of armor that we've got is called the shield of faith. And if you'll remember from that study, I told you that that shield was a full body shield. It was not just some little piece of armor, but it was a full-bodied shield. And it said that we needed that piece of armor so that we could quench all the, listen, fiery darts of the wicked. Sometimes the enemy will fire upon you from a distance. You will hear something from a distance that maybe attacks you. And he'll fire those fiery darts at you from a distance, and that shield of faith will cover you from those fiery darts. But many times the enemy comes close. He's not fighting you from a distance any longer, but he comes close to your life. And so we must have, you see, that sword is a short piece of weaponry. It's for close battles. It's for hand-to-hand combat. It's for one-on-one. It means the difference between you standing or falling. The Word of God is that important in your personal life. And he says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray over that thing. Pray over that Word of God. Pray over that sword of the Spirit with all supplication and prayer. Now, I want to draw on some things tonight. Listen to what the Word of God says to us. Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. Sometimes we've got to fight with everything that we got in a personal one-on-one battle. Amen. Sometimes it's going to get intense in your life. And this book is the only weapon that we've got to defeat those one-on-one encounters with the devil. Sometimes the enemy will get mighty close to you. He got mighty close to Eve in that garden. He came up to where Eve was at. He wasn't throwing or flinging fiery darts. He was close. And she lost that battle because she did not use this word of God appropriately. He came close to Jesus in the wilderness. He neared himself to Jesus in that wilderness. And Jesus stood him to the face with the word of God. All he did was speak the word of God. And that put the devil to flight. I want to show you something from Revelation chapter 19 with me, if you'll turn there for just a minute. Revelation chapter 19. The whole passage is so good, so we'll just read the whole passage tonight. We've got eternal life. Amen. Revelation 19, verse number 11 says, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he did judge and make war." I would say when he comes back, he is fully equipped with armor. Now I want you to watch this. Oh, glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. His eyes were as a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies, this is you and I now, this is Second Advent. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Now watch it. "And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepresses of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." When he comes back doing battle. He's not coming back to be crucified, not coming back to be spit upon. He's coming back to do battle, and his armies which are in heaven are going to follow him. But I want to draw your attention to this. Out of his mouth went a sharp sword. Sometimes for the Word of God to ever be effective in our lives, thank God for the verse of Scripture that says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart." But sometimes for us to win that victory, that word has got to come out of our mouths to defeat the enemy. You've got to learn to speak the word of God to defeat that enemy that's going to haunt you in battle. Huh. It said that sharp sword went out of his mouth. What did he do in the wilderness? Satan tempting our Savior. He spoke the word of God. Sometimes even in prayer, you've got to learn to speak the word of God. We've got to learn to do this in our own personal lives. Because when you're by yourself sometimes, the enemy will come along and attack you one-on-one. He'll come close to your life. He'll get to messing with your mind. He'll get to fooling around with your mind and make you think all kind of crazy things. Have you ever noticed in prayer that Satan will battle you in prayer? The Bible speaks about prayer time being a hidden time. Jesus said, whenever you pray, enter into your closet and shut that door. In other words, find you a place where you can just get along with God. And there's that hidden prayer. But have you ever been determined to pray and get in that place and you shut the door and you get along with God and you get to pray and all of a sudden you're thinking about things way out yonder somewhere? You know why? Because our minds are wayward. We are wicked and we're weak. But the sword of the Spirit puts life into our prayers. It'll bring us back into focus. We've been meeting, us men have been meeting down here, and I've been just sharing some things about prayer. And how that when we enter into prayer, we don't just walk into the throne room of God and say, "Hey, God, give me money for my bills." That's not how you approach God. You walk into the throne room of God, and the first thing you do is begin worshiping Him. Hallowed be thy name. My Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it's all about Him before you ever get to you. And so many times we're guilty of when we go in prayer, we just enter in of our own thinking, our own ways of praying, and it just lacks the sword of the Spirit. So Paul says, when the enemy draws close, you've got to speak the Word of God. Many times in prayer, you're going to have to just quote Scripture. You ever been in prayer and you're praying, going along, and then all of a sudden it dawns on you, you don't even know what you're saying? I'm raising my hand to that one. You ever been in prayer and you're praying right along, and then you catch yourself and you wonder, what have I been talking about? And you don't, your thought process is just all whacked out and somewhere else. That's the enemy battling against our prayers. And if we're ever going to win this battle, we're going to have to utilize the Word of God. I'm going to say three things about this book tonight. This sword that we have, every one of us have accessible in our lives. Since it is a spiritual book, we must pray over this book. We have to pray. Just taking this book and just picking it up and just begin reading it is not going to get the job done. This book must be prayed over. God, please, Lord, please show. Lord God, I need something from you. God, I've got to have an answer from you. God, the enemy's attacking me. He's attacking my mind. He's attacking my family. God, I need something from the book of God. I need something from this sword to fight the enemy that's come against me. God, please do something through this book in my life. We've got to, since it is a spiritual book, we must pray over this book. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, said, "For the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God." And if we think that we're just going to casually take this book and just casually read it, this casual attitude will never benefit our lives in the battle. We must pray over this book. Since it's a spiritual book, we must pray over this book. For it to be effective in our lives, for it to ease the burdens in our lives, we must pray over this book. Second thought I want to give you tonight, since it is a spiritual book, we must study it and we must still pray over it. If we're going to study it, we've got to pray over this book. The Bible tells us to rightly divide the word of truth. If we're going to study this book, we've got to pray over this book and ask God to open up the eyes of our understanding, that we can understand wonderful truths from His law. There's a passage of Scripture in my personal reading, just my Bible reading. I'm in the book of Numbers and in the book of Mark right now. And in the book of Mark, I was reading the other day, and I was carefully watching as I was coming through the end of the book of Mark. And in chapter number 15, there's two little verses of Scripture stuck right at toward the end of the chapter that I read across it. And I've read it a hundred times. And I read it the other day and I thought, what is all of that about? They're hauling Jesus to be crucified. It's nighttime, and they've taken him to the high priest's house, Caiaphas, and they found him guilty, and they're hauling him now to Pilate. And it's nighttime, and it says this, two little verses of Scripture, says this young lad comes running out and begins following him, and he was naked. And all he had was a linen cloth girt about him. And then the young men, they came over and they started, I don't know if they manhandled him or what, but the verse of Scripture says, and he fled away from them naked. And I'm thinking, God, what is all of that about? Can I be honest with you? I have no clue tonight. And I got down and I said, God, would you please show me what's in those two verses of Scripture? You know, a lot of times we take this book and we say, well, I don't understand it, so there's no need in me even reading it. I don't understand it, so Lord, I must pray over it. I must pray and say, God, please show me things from this book that I don't understand. And you see, we get defeated in the Word of God so many times because we just simply give up on it and say, well, I can't understand it. I don't understand what's going on. But we must pray over it since we've got to study it. He tells us to study the Word of God. He tells us, He commands us to study. And since we must study it, we need to pray over this book. And lastly, I want to say this. Since it's a spiritual book, we must pray over it. Since we must study it, we need to pray over it. But thirdly and lastly, I want to say this. Since we are to sling it, we need to pray over it. You know, there's a lot of preachers behind pulpits today that's doing a lot of damage slinging this book. They're teaching wrong doctrine. They're teaching false doctrine to people because they've not prayed over this spiritual book. And since we are to use this book in our lives, we must pray over this book and ask God's guidance and help with this book of God. Brethren, if we're ever going to win this battle, this book is imperative. It is important in all of our lives. Don't think for one minute that you're going to win it just off of your own mind and your own thinking. Don't think that you're going to, because of your stamina, because of your being, that you're ever going to win this war. This war will only be won by the book of God. And thank God He has equipped us with this blessed old book that the church of years past won many a battle with this same book that we hold tonight. We're experiencing in the church today, we're experiencing a lot of defeat. Unnecessary defeat. Because people just simply don't utilize this book in their lives like they should. The devil ever come to you and make you doubt? He ever made you doubt that you're even saved? These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. You get to quoting that scripture. When he gets to casting that at you, you cast the Word of God back at him. The Bible says, whosoever, hallelujah, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm a whosoever, and I called. Amen. He get to making you doubt, just quote whosoever to him. Amen. And he'll flee every time when you get to yielding this book, the sword of the Spirit. It's a spiritual book. It's a spiritual piece of armor that God has given us, but it must be prayed over for it to be effective in our lives. Can I get a witness right there? Amen. Let's all stand tonight. Let's all stand. Just for...